This is Central Time. The U.S. House passed a bill to raise the debt ceiling earlier this week by a narrow vote, 217 to 215. Here's Speaker Kevin McCarthy after the legislation passed.
The House Republicans just passed the only bill in Washington that lifts the debt limit, ends wasteful Washington spending, and puts America back on the right economic path.
We're going to check out some of the highlights of that bill and find out why it's unlikely to see a future in the Senate or on President Biden's desk. And we'll touch on the politics surrounding the issue and what happens next. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about some of the spending cuts outlined by Republicans in this bill? What do you think about the negotiations that Speaker McCarthy had to make to different factions of House Republicans? And do you think that this debt ceiling is the time to talk about spending cuts, or do you want, as the White House does, a clean debt ceiling bill and talk about budget cuts maybe and spending cuts later? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa Mascaro is chief congressional correspondent for the Associated Press. Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Now, this wasn't a sure thing. President Biden has been saying, hey, Republicans, you want to do something here? Let's see a plan. What did it take for Republicans in the House to get this thing through?
Yeah, well, you know, as you said, Speaker McCarthy really sort of stunned Washington this week. He's been working behind the scenes, they say, to unite what they call the five families, you know, these various caucuses within the Republican majority over there in the House. And he's got the Freedom Caucus, they're the real conservative wing. He's got the more mainstream conservative wing. He's got the sort of more centralist. Anyway, he got them all united and was able to get this bill over the finish line this weekend. A lot of folks did not think he was going to be able to do it. Even the White House and the Senate Democrats didn't think he could do it. But he did. Very narrowly over the finish line, like you say, this 217 to 215 vote, about as squeaker as it could get. And for Speaker McCarthy, people might remember, you know, he went through that whole long, drawn out, you know, exercise to become speaker at the start of the year, one failed vote after the other, big drama that played out over, you know, a week in the House. And for him to be able to serve this up really was a big accomplishment for the new speaker. But as we say, the hard part, it was actually kind of the easy part. The hard part is still to come.
Now, let's look at the spending cuts outlined by Republicans here. Now, it seems like there's some specific ones, clawing back unspent COVID relief money, cutting some of the enhanced IRS funding. But there's also some general stuff saying, hey, we're capping discretionary funding, which leaves a lot of detail to be filled in. What do we know about it? Assuming somehow this became law, what would happen under this bill?
Absolutely. This is what a lot of folks are calling sort of a conservative wish list. It's a lot of what the sort of right flank Republicans have been demanding for years. It, like you say, it claws back the unspent COVID money, which at this point is in Washington dollars, not a lot of money. And then it returns spending to fiscal FY22 levels. So that's last year levels. And then it caps any future spending at no more than 1%. That might sound sort of reasonable to folks, you know, 1% cap, but as everything, the details matter. And all this bill does is sort of set these top line goals. And then the Congress would have to go in and actually make the kind of cuts to meet those goals. And that's where you can get into some real hefty cutting on some of the items that really give pause to people. You know, there would be a lot of interest in sparing, you know, the military accounts. And so the cuts would fall mostly on the non-defense discretionary accounts. And that's a lot of the safety net programs, a lot of the aid programs that go out there. And, you know, Democrats have put out some paperwork showing that some of these cuts could be up to 20% rollbacks in some of the real programs that ordinary Americans depend on. You know, you might not even realize, you know, but these different programs for food aid and, you know, school programs and infrastructure programs and just the whole laundry list of mainstay government programs. As you say, you know, President Biden has said he would veto this bill. The Democrat leader in the House today, Hakeem Jeffries, you know, he says it's extreme proposals. So these ideas, they're going to have a very tough time coming into being. But that's what the Republicans are after, and that's what they passed out of the House this week.
Right. And the White House line on this has been, hey, the debt ceiling is too important. Raise it in a clean bill. Then let's negotiate revenue and spending. Have we seen any change from that line of argument?
No, and you're exactly right. This has, you know, become a problem in recent years, or maybe not quite a problem, but an issue. Let's say it that way. You know, the debt ceiling used to be more of a perfunctory exercise, something that would just be done because, of course, you know, few people in Congress would ever want to see the nation default on its already accrued bills. You know, the bills they've already spent, basically. But increasingly, because this is what we call sort of a must pass, you know, piece of legislation, you have to raise the debt ceiling so that the country doesn't default. It becomes a leverage point and a point to try to add on your priorities. And we saw this a decade ago in sort of the rise of the Tea Party Republicans. They almost brought the country to the brink of a federal default when they were demanding spending cuts back in 2011. We saw during the Trump administration, the Democrats were successful in negotiating with Trump to add some of their priorities to a debt ceiling rise. So we're in a little bit of this back and forth on this now, and the two sides have not wavered. The Democrats are saying, we want, President Biden wants a clean debt ceiling, no strings attached. And the House Republicans are saying, no way, this is their chance to leverage some of their priorities. And they want to have this fight now. The problem is, of course, eventually, you know, the Treasury Department runs out of money and can't pay the bills. And the economists warn that even sort of courting that kind of a situation could really send shockwaves through the economy. So it's a bit of a dangerous game the lawmakers are playing. And as the deadline nears, there's going to need to be some resolution so that they don't throw the, you know, the nation's economy into a tailspin and get blamed for causing that kind of havoc.
Talking about the House passing a bill to raise the debt ceiling and roll back government spending and what happens next with Lisa Mascaro, chief congressional correspondent for the Associated Press. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the content of the Republican House bill, the debt ceiling itself? What do you want to see come out of all of this? Are there places where you'd like to see spending cuts or revenue increases? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Lisa Mascaro stays with us. She's chief congressional correspondent for the AP, looking at Speaker Kevin McCarthy, how he's able to get a bill passed this week that would raise the national debt ceiling, along with some spending cuts along the way, and the next steps, the response from President Biden and Senate Democrats. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We had a caller, Steve, who couldn't stay on the line, brought up Social Security and Medicare, worried that they're unsustainable, wondering what can be done to prevent austerity cuts in the years to come. Now, those so-called entitlements, Lisa, not part of nobody's talking about cutting or changing those as part of this process, I think. Do I have that right?
That's right. Those have really been taken off the table. They've become sort of untouchable at this point. They are such popular programs used primarily by older Americans, the Social Security Fund, the Medicare Fund, which of course provides health care for older Americans and others, but primarily older Americans. And the Republicans have taken those off the table. There were some Republicans early on saying that they should be in the mix, but Speaker McCarthy did not include them in this final product, and it does not look like they will be part of the conversation going forward. Those programs are, you know, facing some difficulties in the years ahead. They're not running out of money exactly, but they are, you know, not having as much funding as they used to have because of shifting demographics and a number of other reasons. But those are sort of more long-term solutions that Congress and the White House know they need to work on but again, probably not part of this package. This package deals with some other entitlement programs, though, the Medicaid program for Americans who need help with their health care, the SNAP program, which provides benefits, food stamp benefits, the TANF program, which provides cash assistance. Those would all face these new bolstered work requirements under the Republican plan that, you know, some people say, hey, people need to show that they're working harder if they want to get these benefits. Others say, look, you know, these people are working hard enough trying to make ends meet. And that if you start imposing these kinds of restrictions on them, you're just going to drive people deeper into poverty situations that are, you know, sort of no help to anybody here that makes things worse. So those are going to be some big debates that we will see in the weeks ahead, because those are in the package.
Okay, so the debt ceiling, we're on a ticking clock here. We don't know exactly when it runs out. We've got the White House saying the Republicans in the House are putting the economy at risk by, you know, insisting on negotiating. They're holding the debt ceiling hostage, they say. Republicans are saying the White House is putting the economy at risk because they won't come and negotiate with us over this. I don't know. What happens next, Lisa?
Right. That is a little bit of chicken right now. Nobody's coming to the negotiating table. The House passed this big bill. They're going to be out on recess next week. The President Biden has not made any overtures to Speaker McCarthy. The Senate is in Democrat hands, and the Senate Democratic leader, the majority leader, Chuck Schumer, has made no moves to consider the House bill. Even if he did, it would probably fail in the Democratic-controlled Senate. And of course, Biden has said he'd veto it. So we are at a bit of a standstill right now. The experts say that the deadline will be sometime in late June, maybe July. So there is a little bit of time, but, you know, they are pushing this thing to, you know, to the brink. And that's often the way Congress works and Washington works. Nobody wants to give in until they have to. But at this point, the idea that they're not negotiating seems like it might be a difficult one to hold on to. People might start wondering, come on, you guys, negotiate, right? So we'll see if they break that at least logjam and start some talks here.
And briefly, Lisa, as we wrap up, are there voices in Congress or elsewhere who are, I guess, trying to get those negotiations going to try to come up with a way to bridge what currently appears to be unbridgeable?
There are some Democrats talking to Republicans. You saw Democratic Senator Joe Manchin say President Biden should talk with the Republicans. Again, I think the White House says, look, we're not negotiating on this stuff. We don't want to play these kind of games. We should just make it clean. So they're a bit far apart right now. So yes and no. Yes, there are some voices calling for that and working a little bit behind the scenes on that, but not a lot to show for it yet. So we'll see if they can bring some of that forward and really buckle down here and start talking.
Lisa, thanks again for joining us.
You bet, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Associated Press. We talked to her about what it took for Speaker Kevin McCarthy to pass a debt limit raising bill in the House this week, along with spending cuts and what happens next. Coming up, Amanda Ripley is back with us to make the case that there's something missing in our media coverage, and that something is hope.